Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4. This is not going to be my message here this morning, by the way. But I want to remind those that came up for prayer last week. We have those notes available, those scriptures available. I prayed for many of you that were struggling with depression and unsure. And I prayed over you because I can't pray the influence of the devil out of your life. I wish I could. If I could, I would do it to myself. But the Lord always led by example. And so if the Lord led by example, we need to follow His. Amen. And the world is what it is. And Satan is the god of this world. But the Lord God is the ruler of His kingdom. And in Luke chapter 4, Satan came to Jesus. And how Jesus responded was very interesting. Like verse 4, He said, Jesus saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then He tempted him again. And God said, "For it is written that you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And so we see in Scripture very clearly that Jesus used it to come against the adversary. So if He did, then we do. And the Lord gave me four scriptures. And those that are watching by live stream, you can get them on live stream. But four scriptures that He gave us for us to take as a sword of the Spirit, and we can use them against the adversary. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Yes. Now He was telling Timothy to stir up the Holy Ghost within him. It fires you up. It edifies you. 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Confession: Satan will not take advantage of me, for I will not be ignorant of his plans against me. That is your confession for that one. In Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, a lot of times pressure and the things that you come through your ear gate and has a tendency to work on your thinking. And so we have to be diligent in doing something about how we carry our thought life. We need to deal with it. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus is working in our time frame, our time period, by watching over our souls. That is so cool. That is so good. And so these are the scriptures you need to get a hold of. And whatever prayer I prayed over you, and just join that to these scriptures as well. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know whether Anita is here today, but Anita came in to see John and I Thursday. And she had shared some visions with me, and I was able to interpret them. And Anita, are you here this morning? Are you here? Maybe you're by live stream. So because we're on live stream, Anita, if you're within my voice, the Lord gave me some scripture for you. And He wants you to have Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 and verse 27. So those belong to you, Anita. And if you're listening by live stream, I felt led to give those to you. And If anybody knows who I'm talking about and knows her, well, make sure she gets the information. Praise God. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So precious to me. Amen. Jesus said, if you keep your mind stayed on Him, you will have perfect peace. Well, I can be of good cheer because Jesus overcame the world. He put life in me because He has life within Himself. If He has life within Himself, then He has put that life within me. And so as I received Him in sozo, salvation, then by being saved, I have the ability to apprehend the powers of darkness over the church and see to it that he cannot prevail it. Amen. So, again, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask for your full attention today because of the content that I want to share with you. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we brought out at verse 10 that Paul had turned to those who were fully developed in their prayer closet to do warfare for all the saints within the body of Christ. That is such good news, because when we come into the kingdom of God and we're little children, little babies, we don't really know how to fend for ourselves right away. It takes time. It takes growth so that we can qualify to come against the powers of darkness. And one thing that we can be thankful of that they did not understand in the Old Testament, that we can come boldly. We can come boldly. I said we can come boldly to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, to the throne of grace. You know what grace means? It means you probably don't have it all together, but His grace will cover you. That's a good kind of throne to go to. Amen. Just go with Him with the genuineness of your heart. I used to hear about prayer, and Kenneth Hagin would talk on how to pray the right prayers, and I'd get so confused that sometimes I'd go to my prayer closet, and I'm saying, I hope I'm praying the right prayer. Is this the right way to do it? And I found where I finally caught peace was the fact that I just can't figure out which prayer to pray, so I'll just go to Him with my heart. And over time, then he develops within you the way to communicate with Him. And sometimes it's very exciting. I told the Lord one day, I said, I'm going to write a book on some of the experiences that have taken place in my prayer closet. And He said, you will not. I said, well, that's to encourage them. And He says, no, that won't encourage them. It will give them more vain imagination. He says, those are experiences that belong to you. He says, but I want them to enter into their closet themselves and experience for themselves what it means to get into your prayer closet and shut your door and divinely communicate with Him. What a blessing. Amen. So we have learned about those four levels of powers that operate within the earth. And they operate in the sons of disobedience. When He says sons of disobedience, He was referring to the offspring of Adam that had not been born again. And so whoever was spawned from Adam inherited the nature that Adam and Eve had inherited when he became self-deceived and did not hold true to what God had told him about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And According to James chapter 1, verse 22, it says that when a man has received a word from God and then doesn't obey it, then what happens is he begins to be self-deceived because he had been given the word and therefore he's responsible for it. That's why Adam was in the area of disobedience. And many of us, including myself, we have been very disobedient because God has given us a word and sure enough, we find ourselves not following it. Now, am I the only one that has ever done that? Has anybody else here can relate to that? How many of you know that God gave you a word? You know it without a shadow of a doubt. And by gosh, you didn't do it. Can you know that without a shadow of a doubt? Well, why didn't I? Well, self-deception is an enemy that involves you, not someone outside of yourself. If it was an enemy outside of ourselves, we would be ready and quick to defend our position. But when it's ourself, where's our enemy? Well, we're our own worst enemy. Very interesting. But he was talking about those who knew how to apply the full armor of God, and it was applied in the realm of the mind. And so evidently these prayer warriors were assigned by God to intercede for those who had not been fully equipped and fully grown yet. And we covered that in Luke chapter 11, that when they heard Jesus praying and they said, teach us to pray the same way that you're praying. And he talked about a man going to God, but he has to go through the outward man to reach God. There is an inner man and there is an outward man. And so then, as the story goes, he asked for three things for a friend on his journey. And that would cover both spirit, soul, and body of mankind. And so Jesus came down to the conclusion that really, if you want to know how to be successful in your prayer life, you need the Holy Spirit. Because he goes on and says there, he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So Jesus was telling those disciples, if you really want to know how to be successful in your prayer life, I'm preparing to receive the Holy Spirit for you so that he can cause you to have an effect in your prayer life. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He's not just a part of God. He's my friend as well. Hallelujah. And he was given and put in me to live there forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we know that everyone who is born of the Spirit is a child of God. Amen. It's a child of God when you're born of the Spirit. Now, I want to share something with you that caught my attention because of the time period that we're living in. I don't know whether you guys have picked it up or not, but how many of you believe that the time frame that we're actually living in is very complicated and confusing? You know, I was talking to an attorney, a lawyer, for a family situation, and I asked him, I said, what's it like being an attorney today? You don't want to go to an attorney for any advice. But anyway, he looked at me and he says, it's very complicated. Very complicated. And he turned to me and he said, well, you're a pastor? He says, what's it like pastoring? I told him, very complicated. Very complicated. Because the mind of men As Rick Renner said, in a world gone crazy, do something with your mind. Very complicated. It seems like when you counsel somebody nowadays, they always counteract with why they can't do that. Well, then why come to counsel? If everything that I give you in counsel you can't do, then what is it that you're looking for? Well, probably down in the very core of their heart, they're probably waiting for God to do something for them, because they probably don't feel capable within themselves to be able to perform it. And thank God that God had a way to prepare the Word of God for us, New Testament, from the Old. Thank God for the Old Testament too. But he had prepared a way to make the Word of God more sure for us during our time frame. And in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, he talks about how to actually add to your faith, how to build it and add to it. And you find these in verses 1 through, I guess, verse 8. He talks about how to add to your faith. And I know today we've got a lot of people talking against the faith message simply because they don't understand it. But Peter tells us very plainly how to add to our faith. And he says, if you add these things to your faith, he comes down to the conclusion of this was that if these things be in you, you will be fruitful, you will have an expected end, and you'll be successful. You won't be barren, but you'll be fruitful. And that's good news if the faith that we have in Christ is fully developed within us. But what really caught my attention is when you get to verse 16. It was not enough that the verses in chapter 1 caught my attention, but when he got down to verse 16, he made some statements here that is very, very powerful. And we are living in a time period where, like Bob Shambly and I were talking yesterday, it's getting so you can't trust anything you hear. There just seems like whatever you're hearing, you cannot trust in. You don't know whether it's true or not. You don't know who to believe and who not to believe. You know, that angers people. It gets them upset because they expect to hear some truth. And so we're inundated with things that we can't trust in. But I've learned something. And I'm not talking about sticking my head in the ground like an ostrich and not realizing what's going on around me. But I've learned that the more evil the days become, then I need to be more fixated. I'm using the word fixation, fixated, because we're going to see it in the scripture here. My mind needs to be fixated on the Word of God. You know, in Romans chapter 8, off of Romans chapter 7, he says that the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit, they oppose each other. But the word he used there, phronema, means when those who are fixated from the natural mind cannot succeed with God. And those that are fixated with the mind of the Spirit succeed with God. And so Peter is expressing something very interesting, especially the time period that we're living in. Verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, this is telling us something. He's going to clarify what he just said. Because, you know, many of them did not believe as the road of time went on, and Peter is down towards the end of that generation, that time period, that the apostles had laid the foundation of Scripture in Christ Jesus for the New Testament believer, the epistles and stuff. And so he's telling us right here that many of them did not believe that deity, a God, came down from the third heaven and dwelt among men. They did not believe that, many of them, especially the Gnostics, those that were in knowledge. And so he says right away, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, he goes and tells us something about this eyewitnessing. He said, for we received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, he's talking about a supernatural incident that he had. Do you know that I have shared with you that I had a supernatural incident, well, not just one, but many, in my life. But I had a visitation from the Lord when he came to me at the park. And he quoted just a few words, which I expected a whole lot more. But he was very direct and straight to the point and turned around and walked off. He told me to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And that was it. I found out that is a loaded statement. Extremely. And it took me some time to really fully understand why he even said that. Now I know why. But one day I was just praising him and thanking him so much for a mystery that had been broke in 1 John when I taught the book of 1 John to you. And I broke the mystery, the mind of that little book. And I was thanking God. And God said, son, would you trade this revelation that I birthed in your heart for that visitation when I appeared to you? I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought it was so strange. But this is how I answered him. I would trade it. To say that you would come and visit me, I would trade that very moment for what I have just received in understanding the mind of that book. And I felt a pleasing within me. I didn't understand it at that time until I read this. And notice what he goes on to say. For we receive from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, most of us being more carnal than we are spiritual, that would have an effect on us. Would it not you? Look at this. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the Holy Mount. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. We also have the prophetic word made more sure. Whoa. You know, we are living in a time frame where they've got books now. John just gave me one about voices from the edge where people were dying and they'd seen and God spoke to them and they went on into eternity. We got books now that talks about heavenly encounters, going to heaven and coming back. Rick Renner himself said that he had an out-of-body experience twice where he was transported to a region to preach the gospel and then was brought back. I have seen angels with my physical eye. I've had visions with my physical eye. And of course, I had that visitation. Now we're hearing about people going to heaven and coming back, and they're coming up with these stories. And some of them are true, but some of them I can't buy into because they're weird. But some of them are true because they fit right into the Word of God. Dean Braxton's, for example, he was there for an hour and 45 minutes and came back. He had a genuine experience, but he interprets it through the Word of God. But you know what Peter is saying here? He's saying, even though you've had those experiences, even though you have heard his voice, we were on the Mount of Trials. And you know what? Peter was the first one who said, let's build three tabernacles. He didn't understand what he was doing at all. And now he's saying something. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, even though we've had these supernatural encounters, you're hearing prophecy that now that is going out that some of them is very good prophecy and some of it is junk. And so how in the world are we going to get a fixation on the Word of God when we are fixated with these experiences that all of us supposedly are having? And Peter says, I got some good news for you. Whether the prophecies are correct or whether they're not correct, I got some wonderful news. We have something more sure. Yes. Something more sure. And now I know why the Lord asked me that. Because he was doing something in my heart that would take me from the experience and get into the Word of God to really know him and know his heart. And I got news for you. You can have a fixation on what's going on around you, but if you're going to have that kind of fixation, you better fixate yourself on the Word of God. Get in and get your focus, what God is saying to us, especially during this time period. And there isn't a one of us in this building cannot testify that we are definitely in the last of the last days. One of the signs of the last days is that Jude brings up is the fact that mankind will discredit authority. They will rebel and speak against authority. Boy, we're hearing that big time today. You cannot respect a man's office anymore because one side is pitting itself against the other side. And Jude said even angels are not permitted to do this. And yet we're inundated with confusion and people. And we have a clarity as to where the church began, but we don't have a clarity as how this is all going to wrap up. But I do. Thank God. As your pastor of this church, I know with clarity how things are headed and how it's going to end. And it's glorious. But you got to get your fixation off of what's going on around and get fixated on the Word of God. And you'll find yourself in total peace. Now watch what he says. And we heard this voice from heaven when we were with him on the Holy Mount. We also have the prophetic word made more sure. If he had not put on there made more sure, then we would be confused as to what prophetic word is made more sure. Well, how many of you know the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament? Amen? Amen? Yep. The Old Testament is very clear to me now, and the New Testament has made clarity to the Old Testament. And I found that the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. Glory to God. But I found out how they mesh together, how they stay together, how they are not to be broken. But in order to see that, you have to cut the Word of God in a straight path. Yep. Now watch what he says. Made more sure, which you do well to heed. That is the word fixation. you do well to heed. Have a fixation. Do you know that he actually says later on in this thing, he says, there is going to be believers then in the end times that will have a fixation on seducing spirits. They will hear words that will literally mislead them. Get them off course. Now watch what he says. When I saw this, I knew he was fully talking about when Jesus first appeared. John said it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. That's the more sure word of prophecy. Because in the Old Testament, it was not clear in reading it, because it says a veil was over their heart. What does it mean by a veil was over their heart? They weren't born again. They didn't have a nature to counteract the nature that was in them physically. And so he had to put them under law by reason of sin and transgression. Till the day came where he could find a way to co-crucify mankind before God so that he can resurrect him to newness of life and get him born of the Spirit of God. Because when you're born of the Spirit of God, you now have the divine nature of God implanted in you, called the solid ground which you build the house of God off of. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory! I don't know about you, but I thank God the kingdom of God is within me, and it's called the foundation for which the Bible and its seed can be planted in that good foundation so that it can rise up and take care of the tares that can be sown in my outward man. Now watch how he goes. Take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. What is he referring to? I love this area that Rick Renner brought out about this statement. He said he was referring to coming out of darkness into the morning light. And as it's coming up over the horizon, it's not bright yet. But then all of a sudden, the darkness is totally exempt. And the light is now overtaken where you're at. In a dark place. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about God has now found a way to get his nature on the inside of you, in your spirit, to be the good ground that the seed can go into and then begin to produce. And as it produces life within you, it extracts darkness out of you. And that's what he was referring to. Then notice what he goes on to say. Knowing this first, then I'm going to quote it from the Greek here. Knowing this first, that every prophecy of Scripture becomes not of its own origin. In other words, it didn't come out of man. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Oh, we've now got the Holy Spirit in on the scene here. The one who is able to do something for us. He is able to work in our heart through the scriptures, or we would say the grain that we need to plant within that good ground so that God can give an increase to it. But you know what Satan's job's doing? His job is to see to it that a seducing spirit can get into your life and use the word of God and put it in your outward man, your planet right in your outward man to produce a tear. And how a prayer terror is produced is he misguides you on what the scripture is saying.
Yes.
That is how a terror is produced. And a terror means it looks just like wheat. It looks the same, but you can't see the difference. And the only one that can tell you the difference, his name is Holy Ghost, because he brings light to what is sown in your inner man. That means the terror that he has been able to sow in your outer man is no longer a darkness that can hold you, because the light overpowers it. Whew, I like that. And so I'm sitting here, and let me quote this to you. For not by the will of man prophecy was born at any time, but men spoke from God, being born by the Holy Spirit. If you look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, he's talking about a birthing. And what he's talking about here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you're born of God, then you qualify for the baptism of the Spirit. Because who's ever born of God has a trip to heaven regardless of what he knows. The thief on the cross said, Jesus, let me go with you. And Jesus turned to him and said, okay, come along. You're going to be with mine in paradise. He's talking about the inner workings of where the spirits of men who had received the Christ that was to come on credit was down there in this place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And he told the thief on the cross, he learned to look to him and he says, you will be with me. Well, no, he said, you will be with mine in paradise. You will be with me in mine in paradise. He didn't turn around and say to him, how much do you believe in me? What do you know about me? You never served me. You're just, you know, as far as I know, I don't even know who you are. No, he didn't say any of that. He just said, let me be with you. Well, he did something wrong. That is sozo. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That first world, they repented at the preaching of Noah. We find that as we read on here. Why? Because they remembered the preaching of Noah. And they had, we don't know the size of their family, but when you live almost 1,000 years old, you got a lot of grandchildren. Great-grandchildren, grandchildren upon grandchildren. They probably gathered them all and said, let's get up to a high place. And they said they remembered that the preaching of Noah, because when Jesus went into paradise, he went and hailed to him and said, the reason you're here is you received me in death. He saved them spiritually. People don't look at the spiritual side of man. They only look at the value of the natural man. And I'm going to tell you what, the value of natural man is horrible. I'm telling you, to kill children, to have babies aborted, people, I'm going to tell you, that is cruel. That is insidious. You're removing the ability of a child to grow and develop and to receive God. You're removing his right to choose at birthing. But they're a spirit. They are a spirit. They are an eternal being, and they will go and be in the presence of God. Do you imagine how many children are up there that are growing there in God? Now watch what he says. But they were holy men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. Why do you think on the day of Pentecost, when the church was in the upper room and all 120 of them spoke in tongues, you know why they did? You know why they did? Because Jesus started the church with a language that would be given to their inner man, their spirit man, that would do what? Cloven tongues as a fire. That baptism of the Holy Spirit is where light will come within the heart of a man to reveal the light of the scriptures of God's word. You cannot just read the Bible with your own intellect and interpret it. You need the mind of God. And the only way you're going to get the mind of God is you've got to have a language that God has given you and designed for you to draw out the hidden things of God. Call mysterion, hidden truths that need to be revealed. Now, the sad thing about this is he gets into something that's very interesting. Peter, he goes on and says this. Watch this. But there were also false prophets, and among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord, denying the Lord who bought them. Even denying the Lord who bought them. And when I looked at that Greek word denying, I was shocked. It is a Greek word eronyama, which literally means they saw Jesus clearly face to face, listened to what he had to say, and turned away from it and rejected it. Those are the ones that are going for the second death. You know what the last death is going to be when it's all said and done? I asked certain believers, certain friends and stuff, and I said, what do you think the last death is? And you know what their answer always was to me? The last death that's going to be put underfoot is physical death. That's what they quote out of 1 Corinthians 15. Mm-hmm. Physical death. It is not physical death. The last death that's going to be put under man and under God is spiritual death, because it's the word thanatos. And at the end of millennium, when all those that did not receive him in perfect environment, because they had that sin nature that habited their bodies, and they ate the leaves of those trees for longevity, it says their children will live to be almost 100 years old. And all the time living in perfect environment, they reject him because he had to rule with a rod of iron. And it said that he administrated perfect justice. There's no blind justice. They couldn't get away with anything. And you know what that nature did? That nature began to build a hatred for Christ. Couldn't hardly wait to get out from under his rule. And when Satan was let loose, who do you think he picked to come against the city? Those who rejected him during millennium. I'm going to tell you, people, there's only two natures that we need to understand in Scripture. One nature is the nature of death. It comes with its own fruit. And then there's the divine nature, which comes with its own fruit. And Jesus, or Mark said in chapter 4, he says that ground produces of its own accord. The word own accord means it is where we get the word automatic. It means automatic. It has automatically fruit that comes with the ground that you live out of. You either live out of the divine nature of God, or you live out of the fallen nature of man. And that's why you've got to be born from above. You have to be born again. You need all of the Holy Spirit, all of him, to work the darkness out of your thinking and bring light. And Jesus said, if you don't observe the Holy Spirit, you take anything against him, speak anything that removes any operation of him without scripture finding it, he says, then you're going to be held accountable and you'll never be forgiven for that issue. Why? Because he's the one that reveals the kingdom of God within you. He even said in Isaiah 28, he says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, because he said the priesthood got to the point where they were never sober. They didn't know how to think like God. And he said, there's going to come a time period when they're going to think like me, because I'm going to put my spirit within them. And they'll hear my voice. And the stranger will I not follow. And they will not fall away when the Lord had bought them and then they turned on him. He goes on and watches this. He goes on and says, who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Not because of anybody else, but themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, because whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. This word deceptive words is plastos. It's where we get the word plastic. It means what they mold and shape words to bring you deception. It says many will depart from the faith in the end times. Well, I'm beginning to see that that word departing of the faith might not necessarily mean they'll turn from Jesus, but they'll lose his witness. Evidently, many believers will go on home to be with the Lord as paupers, because they refuse to deny him. But if you refuse to deny him, then guess what? You sure won't have his witness. Because Satan, if he can't have your spiritual life, then he'll take your witness. At all costs. He doesn't want you to have the right witness. When Sue and I started attending church many years ago, the first time I heard gossip in the church about my pastor being with another woman, you know what that did to me? It crushed me, because I had such confidence that my pastor would not do that. And you know what the Lord told me when I went to the Lord about it? He said, you don't go by what you hear. You don't go by what somebody else tells you to believe. He said, what you do is you go to your prayer closet and you pray for your pastor. He says, you always walk in divine love with people. Whether they're right or wrong, get your mind off of that and put it on what God intends for you to do about it. So I just started ignoring them. A lot of people were leaving the church. Me and Sue didn't care. We still wanted to hear the Word of God. And so we didn't put our fixation on that, our focus. The hidden things of darkness will always come to light. My grandmother told me that. And I wish she hadn't have told me that. Because I always had hidden things of darkness that always came to light. Matter of fact, when I started pastoring the church, Sue and I, one of the things we had, we lay the glass house, everybody's looking at us. That's right. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destructive does not slumber. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. Oh my gosh! And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of right. You know what he's telling us? We have a more sure word of prophecy that can stabilize us and not go by just what we think and hear all the time. I like it when he gets down to turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them, destruction, making them examples to those who afterward would live ungodly and deliver Lot, who was. And I got news for you. This is another answer that I'm going to give you a little key to that I'm learning studying end time thing. Did you know that in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks, whom do men say that I am? And they say, some are this and some are that. And then Peter says, thou art Peter, the Christ of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. He says, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. And then he goes and says, I'm going to build my church that will work with the third heaven to hear, binding and loosening. And it's always in the past tense. Well, I've already been bound in heaven. Well, I've already been loosed in earth. Working together as a church. He said, I'll build my church. And then the other apostles said, what does he mean by church? I don't know. What does he mean by church? Because Paul had not yet come to reveal the fullness of the church, the body of Christ in the earth at that time. He was called to do that. And he said, and the gates of hell, the government structure of Satan, will not overcome it. Well, this is what I thought. And this is how some people are interpreting end times. That eventually the church is going to take over the world and invite Christ back into it. Oh, that's so sweet. Isn't that so sweet? The church is going to rise up to where we're going to be co-equal in the power of Christ. To overcome. What doctrine are we going to use that we don't already possess to rule over the powers of darkness? What doctrine is above it? If I can't rule over his government structure now, then in the end, what other doctrine am I going to obtain to then finally bring him down so that I can invite Jesus back into the situation? People, they just don't know their scripture. What he's going to do is treat you and me just like he did Lot and Noah. This world is on a spiral downward. It's not going to stop. And according to 1 Corinthians or Romans chapter 11, he says, things will remain until the last Gentile nation is reached and brought in. So then all of Israel will come back to its senses because of what God's got planned in the end time for the nation of Israel. And he says, then tribulation will begin, that last 7-year period. Why will it be able to begin? Because the church now filled with the Holy Ghost that has been planted in this earth to reach the souls of men where you're living, those souls need to be reached for the kingdom of God. And you've got to learn how to reach them because the harvest is truly great right now. There are people who have on their branch disaster, their branch darkness and persecution and depression and mental disrupt, and they don't know where to turn, and we're inundated with pills and medicine, and our commercials are just running rampant with trying to sell us the answer to a physical healing and all this junk, and we're going to sit there and we're going to say, God, how is this going to end? Well, the whole society will get to the point it will cut itself off from God and he'll take the church right out of here. And it has nothing to do with overpowering the church. It has everything to do with removing it for one purpose. If mankind wants to go its course, God's going to let it go its course. And he's going to pull the restrainer out. And I'm going to tell you something. Christians say, I don't believe in the rapture. Let your mind float a little bit of what impact that will have on the whole world when only believers in Jesus disappear. Yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine that? Use it in my live stream. Can you imagine that? That is the greatest act of God's sovereign move on planet Earth is to remove the church, to do one thing, to show the world there's something wrong with what they're believing. And number two, to show the world that Jesus must have been the way. And to show the world that if you want what you want, you're going to get it. You know what is really interesting? He comes down here and he says, whereas angels who are greater in power might do not bring a riling accusation against them before the Lord. That's a quote from Jude about angels. He said, even the angel when contending over the body of Moses, they wanted the body of Moses for man to worship Moses. And the angel said, no, the Lord rebuke you. See, even angels will not speak against dignitaries. We're finding that right now. We're finding, turn on TV, you'll find disrespect for both sides. Because they speak against the dignitaries that God has placed in the earth as ordained, literally ordained rulers for our good, for those that are lawless. And now they're even fighting and they're coming against the law. Where is it going to end? Well, I'll tell you where it ends. You need a fixation on the Word of God. You need to fix yourself on what is the Word saying. You need to fix yourself on as the days get evil and more evil. You got to get a fixation on what the Word tells you to do personally. Now, here's what Paul does. In chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and the works in it will be exposed. Then he comes down to verse 15 here. He says, verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blemish. Oh, that's a quote that we find over in Ephesians when he was talking about the church being formed without spot or wrinkle. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, soteria. So as also our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to me, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. So what is the point of my message today? Put your focus on the Word of God and use the Holy Spirit to remove darkness within you so that you can see clearly the light that God can give you. That's where I'm going. Anybody want to come with me? Come on. Anybody want to come with me? Come on. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're under a pastor, you better make sure he's spiritual. There are a lot of people that are pastoring right now, I hate to say this, that went rather than sent. You've got to be spiritual. You've got to promote the Holy Spirit. You've got to promote speaking in other tongues. You've got to promote the spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God in the power of God. You've got to have it in your services. In order to complete the body of Christ in the earth for you. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I'm getting a little worked up here and I got to quit. Hallelujah. It's just my flesh getting in the way. And Father, I hope that whatever I shared with your wonderful people today, they get a hold of it. They get a God fear within them, that Father will cause them to put a fixation on the Word of God and follow it true to its form. Hallelujah. Because it has an answer for everything. Your eyeball saw everything we need. According to Hebrews 4:12, there wasn't nothing that was not seen that we need. It's found in your Word, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, those that are watching by live stream, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell it to you boldly if you're watching by live stream. I have confidence everybody here, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have heard that the baptism of the Spirit is not for today, you have to deal with that doctrine. It's demonic. It is not covered by Scripture. I don't care what Scripture they think it covers. They've twisted the Scriptures to believe something else. It has not ceased. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is specifically given to us to extract darkness out of our inner being. You need a language that communicates with God according to 1 Corinthians 4. You need a language. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that language is not designed to show how spiritual you are. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 14. You're all sitting there jabbering off in tongue. You don't know what divine order is. You don't do that. It turns people off. But that language was designed for your personal prayer closet where you can get in there and get the mind of God on Scripture. If you're going to do any communicating to the church, make sure you're using the language that they understand. How would you like it if I sat up here and just spoke my whole message in tongue? It'd be the most dumbest thing I ever did. I had an incident one day. Maxine, are you here? Is Maxine here? Out and back. Maxine got up and she came right to me and she pointed her finger at me. You guys might have remembered that, sir. And she was giving me the what for. And here's my thinking. I'm hearing what she's saying. And I'm thinking you all hearing the same thing. I'm saying, oh, God, you're kind of openly rebuking me in front of all these people. And giving me, you know, what am I going to say to them? And she goes and sits down. And I looked out at you guys and I went, well, I don't know how to answer that. And somebody said, what'd she say? I looked at somebody, I forgot who I was looking at in the front row. I said, did you understand what she said? No, I didn't understand. She was speaking in tongues, but I heard it in English. I ain't going to tell you what she was telling me. But I tell you what, a supernatural thing like that, you got confidence in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That just don't happen. And then I looked at all of you and said, you didn't hear it. And then you know what? She made an appointment to come and see me. She came and saw me and she sits across. I don't know why I did that, Pastor. I am so wrong. I don't know what made me do that. And I said, I do. Shut up. Go. She didn't understand. God has a way of covering you. But it wasn't all bad. It was also good. And I just didn't want that out neither. But anyway, did you guys get something? But those of you that are listening by, and you have been told that tongues have passed away, I'm going to tell you, it is a lie. I want you to understand it is a lie. Just because the people misused it, they don't understand it. But they haven't experienced it. Some things like that frighten people. They don't have confidence within themselves even for the purpose of it. Because that language is the only language that indicts the intellect. You don't understand what it's saying because you don't need to understand it. Only God understands it. And then he puts a deposit back in your spirit of what you've asked for. That's how it extracts darkness in your thinking. It is a graced act of humility that the church can reach out and open the door for God to move in and deposit the right true understanding of Scripture. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want you to reach out to someone who has been baptized in the Holy Ghost and receive it. I know a lot of people have had weird stories. I know you watch them by live stream. You probably had some weird story. People telling you, you got to do this and you got to do that. But listen, all you have to do is listen to your inner man, and the Holy Spirit will have those tongues come flowing out of you supernaturally. And your intellect is going to be the first thing that will say, what are you doing? Don't pay attention to it. Hallelujah. It has great dividends, great rewards. Because when you go back to Scripture and you start reading it, you'll say, my gosh, is that what it means? The baptism of the Holy Spirit has got to come back alive. Dennis and Rita Bennett, they moved a great deal on baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. And he was a denominational minister? Episcopalian. First time I went into his meeting, he was talking about praying in tongues. I was just amazed. Here he is, a religious man, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he experienced it for himself. Hallelujah. I tell you. What a shit that got out. Okay, we're going to stop there. But I want you to make contact with us. If you need to know more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, make contact with us. We can give you some information that will help you. You need that, especially at the time period that we're living in now. And Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I hope whatever I shared today will get into the hearts and mind of your people and cause some good things to happen in their life. Father, if they draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to them. Hallelujah. I have confidence. Total confidence that when I share the word, you will ignite it in them in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people here this morning. I pray that whatever I said will spark a chord in their heart. That, Father, just like my grandpa, I never realized that my grandpa knew that we were spiritual. And in his deathbed, he said he had one regret, not to be more spiritual. Father, I don't want any of my people to ever have that testimony. I want them to be spiritual. In Jesus' name. May you have a safe trip and may we have a good picnic. Amen. Go sip your lemonade.